Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. This Advent season, we've been doing a sermon series on John the Baptist and questions related to him. And today is the final sermon in that series. I'd like to talk with you about this question. Do you have a close, personal, and friendly relationship with Christ as did John? Are you and Jesus mates? Are you friends? Is that the way you feel your relationship is? Or do you feel like it is, in some senses, more distant and colder than that? Are you too afraid to venture to call Christ your friend? Or maybe he's so high and kingly that you can see him as king, but you can't quite see him in the relationship of a friend. Or maybe in your life you see the Christian life lately more in terms of an academic exercise, like I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to study and ascribe to these certain statements and beliefs. But is that a friendship? Is that a relationship with a friend? I'd like to talk with you today about Christ being our friend, because indeed, John the Baptist seemed to have that relationship with him. And I think God wants us to share that same thing too. Let's see what God would share with us about that in his holy word today, so that he's going to tell us what kind of relationship he wants to have with you and with me. Let's take a look at that in the word then. What can we say? First thing we can say about friendship is John the Baptist. He certainly seemed to have a relationship with Christ, his friend, didn't he? Now we say that, let's read it in the Bible. John chapter 3. We read here that a discussion was going on between John's disciples and a Jew over purifying. They came to John and said, "Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, here he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "No one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him." Watch this now. "He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now full." So how does John the Baptist describe himself in that verse in his relationship to Jesus? Jesus is the bridegroom. What is he called? The friend of the bridegroom. Now, we don't want to just jump over that verse. I think that's very important. He chose that word, friend of the bridegroom. So John described himself and his relationship with Jesus. And so, therefore, Jesus also is his friend. Freaking, how can you have a one-way friendship? He's the friend of the bridegroom. He rejoices greatly in the bridegroom. And guess what? The bridegroom also rejoices greatly in his friend, who's John the Baptist. And so what are friends? The word in the Greek is philos. I don't have to give you all these definitions, but well, a few. Friend is one who is beloved. He's dear. A close companion. In the English, it's someone who's not hostile to you, a favored companion. And you know what a friend is? Friends are people who help you. They're on your side. They encourage you. They refresh you. They help carry your load. They're someone you can go to and pour out your heart such that your hearts tend to just be woven together in this beautiful tapestry as if they're one. Isn't that what a friend is? And many things more. Well, John described his relationship with Christ as the friend of the bridegroom, and Christ to him, a friend. And I want to ask, do you have any friends like that today in your lives? Hopefully so. If not, I pray you do. And I just want to share about my friend Ben. Remember him? A lot of you have met him. Oh, Cecile likes him. Yeah. Good-looking English guy. I met him the first time I ever saw him. I was on a schooner, as I told you, in Puerto Rico, Spirit of Massachusetts, big sailing ship. I was a crew, and he was going to be coming on as a student on a semester, but he came 2 months early to work with us as crew for those 2 months before his classmates arrived. And the first I ever saw Ben was just this little speck on the harbor in San Juan, this little black dot heading over. I'm like, what on earth? Who's this? And he had a little pack on his back of a few possessions. He comes on bare-chested in his pants. After I let down the ladder, he comes on dripping. He says, "Hi, I'm Ben from England." I said, and he says, "I'm going to be sailing with you chaps." And I'm like, "All right, I'll show you around the ship." And he said, "Brilliant, brilliant, yes, right." And I wrote in my journal that I met this Englishman that day, and I was looking at it recently. I was like, oh my goodness, here's the day I met Ben. And I didn't realize that that was going to be the start of an amazing friendship forged in the adversity and the adventures of the great ocean. And on that trip, we got to face difficult times and have great times and songs and experiences and countries together. We had a sweet communion, but also we could share each other's hearts. We both knew Christ, and we had a blending of our hearts like I had never had it with any other crewmate. And such that when we didn't see each other for 17 years, because he's in Britain and I'm over here in the States, when we finally got together again about a year ago, it was like we'd never been apart. And our hearts were so intertwined, we were just sharing our hearts and encouraging each other right there after 17 years. And I want to ask, do you have a friendship like that in your life? And do you have a friendship like that with Christ? Because it's the best with him. One where you love him and he loves you. He's there. He helps you. He's encouraging to you. You have a sweet communion of hearts with your Savior. Or would you describe your relationship with Jesus as like, well, he's my Lord, but I'm a servant. He's my King. I'm just a subject. He's there. I'm over here. I serve him, but I'm a little afraid of him, and I'm going to hang back from him. Is it a little more cool and distant? Does God want you to know him as a friend? Well, you might say that, well, that was John the Baptist. Of course, he's going to be Jesus' friend because Isaiah spoke about him 700 years before he came. Sure, he's going to be his best friend. What about me? Am I going to get to be a friend to Christ as well? And should I know him as such? Well, consider this. What's God going to tell you in his holy word? This is what God describes your relationship as. It says in Psalm 25, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. His what? His friendship. Think about the choice of that word that God uses in your relationship with him. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him and makes known to them his covenant. And then, of course, Job was having trouble in his relationship with God at one point because he felt God was against him when everything went bad. And he remembered those sweet days. He says, as when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. Do you know what happened in Job's life? Was Job a friend of God? Were they friends? According to that, he says the friendship of God was with me once. God and Job were friends. Then he suffered, and it became very hard to see God as his friend. But I ask you, was God still Job's friend at that time? He didn't cease to be his friend. He still was there for him, even though he went through a hard time, and it was hard for Job to see it. And we see at the end of the book, God remained Job's friend. And I'll tell you, they're in heaven today, yet as friends. So a very faithful friend is God. How about Abraham? Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Friend. And then, of course, the greatest example of this is with Jesus Christ himself. When Lazarus died, remember that? Good friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha came, and they're very distressed. He's sick. And then Jesus knows he died, and then he tells his disciples, we're going to Judea again. And then what does he say? Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awake him out of sleep. Our friend. Ooh, wouldn't you love Christ to call you that today? Betty, my friend. David, my friend. Art, my friend. Bill, my friend. Edna, my friend. Does he speak to us that way? Well, what was the great charge against Jesus by the Pharisees? They said, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was their charge against him. And that's our greatest joy. He is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They said, look at this man. He's befriending those poor sots over there, those sinners, those who are guilted and weighed down by their sins, those terrible, reckless people. And yet Jesus came alongside them as friend to give them forgiveness, didn't he? Do you know how Jesus beckons you to his side with a friendly word today? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Give me and learn from me. from gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you have any sins that are weighing on you today? Any wrongdoing or any guilt or anything hanging over you? Maybe fears? Do you know what Jesus says in those same words? He says, hello. He calls you over. Would you like to be my friend? I'd like to be yours, says the king. Then he says, by the way, that pack on your back, I see it's very full. It's got a lot of sins, a lot of guilt, a lot of wrongdoing. I'd like to take that off your back. I'd like to put it on mine. I carried it to the cross, and I'll throw it into the depths of the sea. You'll never see it again. And then, being free and light, walk with me. Let's walk together the rest of the way, free and clear, all the way to heaven. I'll go with you all the way. Does that sound like a friend to you? Is that the kind of God that you have? Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What's a friend do? Does he do you harm or good all your days? Are you afraid that Jesus is going to do you harm, like he's out to get you, like some Christmas Scrooge? He's up there keeping his record books, can't wait for you to fail, and he's after you and looking for what's wrong in your life. You know, friends are quick to overlook things. They are quick to forgive. They're very patient. They're helpful. They're encouraging. I want you to know God is a God of, and Jesus is a friend. He laid down his life for us. And then we're his friends. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And what does he command us to do? Be friends to other people. Not, in other words, love them. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I've called you friends. Wow. Can you imagine that? Seriously? The God who created everything says, I call you my friend. The king, who's king over angels and kings of the earth and over all things, the ancient of days says, I want you to call me friend, for I call you friends, and I take away your sins. I throw them into the depths of the sea. I walk with you in love. Walk with me as friends to befriend you. Wow, God, you are amazing. I know that is in my life. My goodness, the things that I can remember that I've done or thought or said, and yet he's never left my side. I've been with him at times, hopefully a lot, and he's been with me. I've strayed from him. He was a friend to me. When I've done wrong, he's been very quick to forgive me. Whenever I need encouragement, he's always there to help me. And anything that I do, whether I stand in the pulpit and I need a word, he gives it to me. He's my friend. Is he your friend too? He was John the Baptist's. And you know, if you want to think about it, the whole kingdom of God that he's preparing for us is all about friendship. The king wants to be your friend, and he wants you to know him as friend, and wants you to be his, and then he wants you to be friends with each other. For what is friendship ultimately? It's love, right? What's a friend do to another person? He loves that other person, and that other person loves back. That's what a friendship is, and that's what God wants for you. And he's shown it by dying on the cross for our sins. So Jesus was a friend to us, to John, and to us. So to be friends, what do you need in order to be a friend of God and to be friendly, have a friendly relationship with him? What gets in the way? Well, one thing that gets in the way is, of course, sin. Is everybody in the world a friend of God? No. In fact, James says, unfaithful creatures, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why? Because the world doesn't want to be God's friend. They don't want to be Jesus' friend. Not everybody on earth is accounted the honor of having friendship with God. Even though God desires all to be saved, not all would be saved, not all want him as their friend and savior. And we see that sin breaks the relationship. And it did originally with Adam and with the rest of us. And Paul says of our relationship, you were dead through trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. That is the spirit that's working this now in the sons of disobedience. So at one time, our relationship with God was broken. It was killed. The friendship was nil and void. We were his enemies. But the Bible says that God remained a friend to us. And he did that by sending his own son to be our friend, to save us, to restore the friendship. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. And then he did what? Raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like a friend to you? Think about that. Your God has come down to befriend you, to save you, to forgive you, to walk with you, and then in the coming ages to pour out his friendship upon you forever. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. If a person doesn't fear him, then he's not yet in that friendship and friendly relationship. But for you who do, he is faithful and loves you. For there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I'll tell you, that's Jesus. I'll bear witness again in my life. I've been in harrowing situations at times. I've been in peaceful situations. I've been in the beauties of a sunset. I've been in trouble in my life. I've been in fears and I've been in confidence. And in all these times, he remains my friend. He is consistent. Do you have a friend like that in real life? If I were to call up Ben right now, would he come and give me a discouraging word and pick apart everything I'm doing wrong and treat me harshly? You know how long our friendship would last that way? Not very long. But it's because friends act differently. And that's how God acts with us. To encourage, to strengthen, to help, to lighten your load, to see you all the way through. He is a friend of sinners. So was the charge against him by the Pharisees, and so we rejoice in those words. He is a friend of sinners. Praise God. Now he says, walk with me in love. And by doing so, we are friends of God by doing his will. But another thing we might have a problem with is, I know in my life, a lot of times I've thought of Christ as king and me as the subject, and that's cool. You know, he's the king, and I'm like a knight. I'm going to go out and serve him. That's a great way to look at the relationship too. But can we look at that as a friendship too, where the king is a friend to his knight and a knight being a friend to his king, that they're bound in that sort of a friendly loyalty? Well, is God able to be your friend even he's so high and his rank outranks you by so far? He's God and you're not. He's the king and you will never be like that, King of Kings, although you'll sit on his throne. But look what it says here. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who is seated on high, who looks far down upon the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. Do you ever feel like God's too high to be friend with? You ever feel that way? Like he's king and you're just not, the rank is so different, you can't really be friends with him. What's it say here? Though he's high in rank, he regards the lowly. He comes down and lifts them up and makes them sit with princes. You know what Jesus says in Revelation? The one who conquers, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne as my father conquered and sat down, as I conquered and sat down with my father in his throne. What's Jesus do? He bends down as the king. He gets down, if you will, and washes your feet as he did to the disciples. He comes down to be your friend on your level. And then being down on your level in this way, he says, I'll now raise you up to make you sit with princes. Come up here. Sit with me on my throne. Now, cherubim and angels, they're friends of God too. But think of the special friendship he has with you. The cherubim aren't invited to go onto God's throne. The angels, though great and greater in power and glory right now, they're not invited onto the throne. But Jesus says to you, Vivian, and to you, Virginia, and to you, Bill, and to me, and to each of us, he says, in Christ, conquer. And I say, come on up here. Sit with me, friend, on my throne, as I conquered and sat down with my Father on his. Come up and sit with me, says the high and holy King. So, are you afraid that you might not be for God's friend because he's high and you're lowly? Well, he has come down, and he says, we're going to be on a friendship. He's always going to be greater than you, to be sure. But he says, count me as friend. And then one more is, what about a hard time, though? You know, Job had that very great struggle when he was suffering so to remember his friendship with God and lay hold of it. God seemed to him like an enemy. Do you ever feel that way in tough times? Like, God, are you still my friend? Can I rely on that friendship at this time? Times are so difficult. Well, he does lead us through rough waters. That's because he's taken us somewhere. Journeys aren't always easy. Just ask Job, Paul, Moses, and Peter. But you know what? Let me give you a little secret. You ready? Sometimes the best place to forge a friendship is in the fires of adversity. Amen? I'm thinking about my relationship with Ben. You know, good British guy. I enjoyed him. But our friendship was forged in adventures on the sea, on the great ocean. If I'd met him on a tame campus in a civilized society on land where everything was safe and we just went to classes together, we might have still been friends, got together for some tea and British crumpets or something like that. But do you think our relationship would have been bound together like it was when we went through nights and days at sea together, when we were swinging around at the top of a mast this way and that in a storm, furling a sail? Or we were exploring different countries, or swinging from a vine, or when I was struggling with, should I marry Beth, and I was able to pour out my heart to him, and he could pour out some godly advice back to me, and we could pray together. And when I almost died, when I got my foot caught in a halyard, he was there to help me. And we went through 2,500 nautical miles down towards South America two times, and then back up to Massachusetts. And all the time, and in danger, and in good times, and pleasures, and songs, all these, and sorrows, all these things together forged the relationship deeper than if we just met in a civilized, tame setting. Do you think God might be forging your relationship deeper and stronger through sufferings and trials and adventures with songs and joy along the way as well? But also hardships and difficulties and tempestuous seas in order that your relationship with him might be the stronger. For I'll tell you that it is through seas and dangers and toil and adventures and intimate shipboard life with your God that forms the relationship in a way that the tame life never could forge it. To make it deeper than Sheol, brighter than brass, and more polished than silver in the end. You get where I'm coming from here? Job had a tough time. He says, at one time I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, I can't perceive him. On the left hand, I seek him, but I can't behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. Where is he? But he says, look at how his friendship came out. But he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see how it was forged in the fires of an adversity. It became stronger in the end. And Paul says, at my first offense, no one took my part. Everyone deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Indeed, the Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom, says Paul. I testify to you, I've been in every type of situation. You've been in every type of situation, but he's never failed us once. He does not forsake his people. He is with you today and tomorrow and forever because he's a friend. That's what friends do. They help each other. They love each other. They encourage each other. And he bears our load, the weight of our sins. Might God be leading you through sunshine and rain, hard weather and light, joyful times and stark, even in the close proximity of the shipboard life, even through song and sorrow to forge a greater relationship and friendship with you that you might learn to live by faith. And when we go through these things with him, we can see him before him, us keeping our eyes upon him so that we are not moved. We hear him, that voice leading us along the way. We walk with him, my steps holding fast to his paths, my feet don't slip. We rejoice in him, knowing that this temporary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And when we cry out to him, God says, before they call, I'll answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Those are the words of a friend. And I want to ask, do you know Jesus as a friend today who loves you? You can be a, You can have a godly fear of him, but remember, when it comes to the day of judgment, there's no fear in love. For those who walk as he walked have nothing to fear of the day of judgment. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he gives us a bright vision of home. He invites us to his house. I remember little Billy Westerhoff, I'd say, talk with your mom, I'll talk with mine. We'll see if we can invite each other over for the night. Jesus doesn't have to do that. The Father himself sent Jesus saying, go invite them to our house. And Jesus says, when I go up there, I'm going to come and take you again, that where I am, you may be also with me. Friends want to be together. Jesus wants to be with you, even into all eternity. Aren't those great words? And our seeing him, our not seeing him right now, I'll tell you, is only temporary. We have an invisible friend, but he is there, by sure as everything he is. But it's only temporary, for we can't look on God and live right now. But he knows the way we take. He is with us. And one day we will see him face to face, our good friend, whom we shall see on our side and not another, as says Job. And I'll conclude then with these words about seeing our friend in with our flesh. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God shall be in it, and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, his friends, shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and night shall be no more, and they need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they shall reign with him forever and ever. In the friendship of Jesus Christ. Amen.